SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so our opening hour, we went all around the 2025 men's NCAA tournament bracket as we welcome you to hour number two on this Friday here on the Early Line. We had recapped everything. Now we set the stage for where things stand as we get ready for a second day in the round of 64 at the men's big dance. 16 games yesterday, about 13 and a half consecutive hours of college basketball, 16 total games on this Friday, about 13 plus hours consecutively of college hoops that will feature a young Donnie Wright side in studio tonight for Sports Grid's Bracket Central coverage, breaking it all down. DRS will get your thoughts on the primetime slate, which game you are most excited for throughout this second hour. And a reminder for all of you, Sports Grid's Bracket Central coverage begins noon Eastern time on this Friday. Myself, the coach, J.Y. James Young, once again, and the addition of Big Blue, Mike Blewett, joining us from Versa NYC, outside our Midtown Manhattan studios, out with the people on the roof deck on what should hopefully be a lovely Friday afternoon in the early spring.
Sounds like a great night for rescue programming on the Sports Grid Network, baby. Let's get after it. Let's have fun. Let's have no snafus. Let's bring the people what they want. BSS. How about that? Look, I'm feeling good on a Friday. I'm energized. I'm revived. I got the doubleheader today. I got the home and home today. Home studio. Home up in Homedale. I'm ready to go, man. No snafus. We rock and roll today. Don't make me work another three hours in the afternoon. Come on, I can't handle that. I got enough.
Have to air a show scheduled for Sunday with an earlier premiere. But anyway, as we get you ready for everything we will see today, I hope we don't get fired, around the round of 64 on this Friday at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament. DRS, let's take a moment to look at the national championship odds based on what we saw on the opening day in the first round at the Big Dance. Duke and Florida yet to play. Their odds remain mostly the same. Duke backed by a dime, but still the only team with a price shorter than 3-1 at plus 290. Florida the same at plus 360. Auburn remains at plus 550. That's fine. Houston has seen their price shaved by a half buck at plus 550. And then again, DRS, what a large drop-off we have from all of those four teams on the one line to everybody else. Alabama as a 2 seed enters the big dance in a round of 64 matchup today against Bobby Moe. Robert Morris, the champions of the Horizon League, with a 20-1 price to win a national championship. Outlandish stuff.
I do love the way some of the market reacts, because you are going to get changes even from first round games, but somebody, I guess, looked and said, boy, we didn't know Gonzaga was actually a quality basketball team. They won their game. They were impressive. And it wasn't as if Houston won by 6 points yesterday. Houston was unbelievably impressive. And they're calling partners on defense. And people are like, tough seeing that second round here. So we got to change the matchup just a little bit. So I always love how the evolution of the markets happen in real time as we watch on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Nobody should be panicking. Nobody should be upset. As long as your team won, let's just say your Final Four team, Elite Eight, National Champion, whatever it might be, they were okay and didn't get injured, you should be okay. But I still do like that panic of, oh, I don't know if Auburn's a team we always thought they would be. What did you watch this year? And they won easily yesterday, but still, it's you expect 40 to 50 to 60 point wins by some people and some of those unattainable goals. It's survive, it's advance. That's what it's called in March Madness. As long as you're winning, you're okay in my book.
DRS, I didn't see anything yesterday out of Auburn that makes me gravely concerned or more skeptical of this team that we haven't seen down the home stretch. When you drop three of your last four, there is a reason to be hesitant. As we shared yesterday, no team, although it feels like an interesting quirk because how many times has this happened, but no team has lost three of their final four games entering the tournament and gone on to win a national championship. That makes sense, but these three losses, again, these three losses aren't like, oh, they got blown out as a 10.5-point home favorite against a scrub team that didn't even get to the NIT. They lost on the road to A&M, a team that is a 4 seed in the South region, and handled Yale yesterday. They lost at home in overtime in a rivalry matchup against Alabama, a team that is a 2 seed in the East region. It has the 5th best price to win a national championship. Sure, they squeaked by Ole Miss in the SEC tournament, but the Runnin' Rebs, still a 6 seed in this NCAA tournament. And Donnie, they then lose in this SEC tournament semifinal against Tennessee, who won by 15 yesterday and is on the 2 line. Had Auburn dropped games they were not expected to, although they were booked as a favorite in every single one I just mentioned. But if they were a 15.5-point favorite against bottom feeder in their conference, all right, I'd put up the caution flag, no doubt about it. Nothing I have seen yet still changes my outlook. The vibe looks a little bit off for Bruce Pearl's Tigers, I will say that. But in terms of the actual basketball play, I'm not like, oh, man, yep, that shows it. The Hornets had cut it to a 1-point deficit late in the opening half. If they can't even hammer Alabama State as a 19.5-point first-half favorite, then I want nothing to do with them. I still think Auburn is going to be A-OK.
Yes, and they will be. Just wait for the plus 290 Duke Blue Devils to be up 5 points at the final timeout today in the first half and watch that number plummet all the way down. Oh, no! Duke's not as good as we thought they were, even though they were sensational with or without the best player in the country. I do love the overreactions early, but it does actually end up saying, you know, if you bet Houston for a ticket to win it all, and yes, Gonzaga's going to be the second-round matchup for them, which is a tough matchup, and that's what you're going to get round the 30. You're not supposed to get layups in the round of 32, but you'd watch Houston yesterday went like, you know what? I feel comfortable there. So that comfort of handling your business easily and moving forward, because Houston, are they playing their best basketball because they just hammered a team they're supposed to hammer it in SIUE? Yeah, I mean, come on. It's debatable at that point. Don't panic early. As long as your teams win and survive, there's going to be games that are phenomenal. But as I told you, so many breakdowns we just gave here on what we watched yesterday. I love when the team I like won a game where it's like, boy, they didn't play that well, because wait till they play well. That's when you get excited.
And DRS, as you have alluded to, and rightfully so, the 1 seed should have this level of distinction. They are the best group of number 1 seeds we have ever seen, at least in the last 20 years, in the NCAA tournament based on KenPom ratings. But when you have nearly a $15 drop-off to a really good Alabama team on the 2 line, you do have some value. Texas Tech sees their number shorten at a 20-to-1 price. I wasn't overwhelmed by what I saw out of Grant McCaslin in the Red Raiders yesterday. Gonzaga, a lot of movement as well at 27-to-1 in a great round of 32 matchup again tomorrow between the Zags and Houston. Let's talk about the 2 1-seeds that enter the fold in the round of 64 today. We got official confirmation yesterday. Cooper Flagg, he is cleared. He is good to go. How much will we see him, though, today? Frankly, how much will the Blue Devils even need him today against Mount St. Mary's? Donnie Lynn leading the Mount to a win on Wednesday and indicting the champions out of the MAC, riding a high, but a 32.5-point underdog against the Blue Devils. So, Donnie, let's answer those questions. How much will we see out of Cooper Flagg today? How long do you think John Shire keeps him on the floor?
As long as he's, you know, healthy at that point, and we're led to believe he's healthy, otherwise he wouldn't be playing. Like teams that we talk about, like Texas Tech, McMillan, thought he went play, didn't play. That shows like, ooh, we're going to have to worry a little bit. But if your superstar player is good to go, I'm not saying you play him 35 minutes in this game. And quite frankly, any superstar player is not going to play 35 in a 1-16 matchup that you're supposed to easily win that game. But I look for a strong first half, and it's one of those where you're going to be able to get warmed up out of the break, put him in there for 6, 7, 8 minutes, and maybe he plays a total, Ben, of 20 minutes in this game. Because once again, you're not going to need him. Like, I doubt Duke's going to have to bring him off the bench with 4 minutes to go in a 2-point game today. Like, hey, rescue us when I didn't think you would need it. Give me 20-plus minutes. I don't even need efficiency. I just need to see the bounce out there, the spring, and just to maybe knock a little bit of the rust off and get that confidence back. That's all I need to see. Give me 20 minutes for Cooper Flagg today.
And I think that would be great, DRS. You don't need a ton out of him. Basically, we saw Kelvin Sampson sit all of his starters in the second half yesterday as Houston was comfortably beating SIUE. I think that is probably the plan for John Shire, but it almost presents a perfect opportunity for Cooper Flagg to test out the ankle and be ready for the rest of the match. The other 1 seed in the fold today, Florida, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday. It is the round of 64 continuing at the 2025 men's NCAA tournament. Round of 64 begins at the women's big dance on this Friday as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. DRS Duke, 32.5-point favorite today in the 116 matchup in the East region against the champions of the MAC. That would be Mount St. Mary's. A victory for the Mount. An upset against American on Wednesday evening in Dayton. The Mount, by the way, has won 4 consecutive games in postseason action. MAC tournament, NCAA tournament outright as a dog, but this one a 32.5-point spread. Mount St. Mary's does turn the basketball over. When you look at a team like Alabama State, who was the 16 that covered, Donnie, they don't turn the ball over. It allows them to keep things safe, to stay within margin. Might be a little bit more difficult for the Mountaineers against the Blue Devils. Of course, we will monitor the status of Cooper Flagg. That will be a key equation for that game. The other one seed playing in this round of 64 Friday, the one seed atop the West region, that is Florida, taking on the champions from the MEAC. That's Norfolk State, a 28.5-point spread in favor of the Gators, who have run roughshod as of late throughout the SEC, including in the conference tournament in Nashville. Frankly, Donnie, with the way they won games in the SEC tournament and the way the Gators look right now, I think there is an argument to be made. They look like the most dangerous team entering the dance.
They really do. And you see that large number there. There's two ways you could try to play it off, because if you're looking for that big spread, it's like, well, why don't you just go in the first half? Because, you know, the thought process of the cleanest half you're going to get between two mismatched teams is always the first half, because number one, it doesn't matter if you're up 40-9 with 3 minutes to go. Your starters aren't coming out in the first half. They're going to press that lever down. But understand this, like, Florida's backups to backups are probably better than Norfolk State starters at that point. So yeah. Is it one of those where you start a little bit slow? You see sometimes in NCAA tournaments, hey, we're only up 9, 10, or 11 at the break, which wouldn't have been good enough to cover that halftime number. And then you really slap it down in the second half. You score 48 points. The other team scores 17 points. And away you go with a cover and an easy one at that bit. I don't really generally, Ben, get involved in these 1-16s here with the high numbers, because you are expecting a blowout. But understand this again. I always just get back to the simple theory. No aggregate score. You don't have to keep your number one seed by how many points you beat the number 16 seed by, so you can advance and still be that number one seed in round number two. It doesn't work that way. So when I look at games like this, I just look at the first half and say, what is that score probably going to be? And maybe a team total to the under for a team like Norfolk State, where what's the maximum? So if we're taking a look at, I didn't see it, 27.5, 153.5. So that number is pretty high on the total, obviously based on Florida doing whatever they want on offense. But I always look to these teams like Florida and say, their defense should be able to shut down Norfolk State. They really should, regardless of who's in the game, starters or backups.
So let's give a little respect, though, to Norfolk State and the Spartans. Not saying that you were demeaning them by any means, DRS. Yeah. But they were an underdog 9 times in a non-conference action. They were 8-1 against the spread. They have, in fact, have played 4 teams that have made it to the big dance in Grand Canyon, Baylor, High Point, and Tennessee, booked as an underdog in all 4 of those matchups. They covered in all 4, in fact, scoring enough to keep pace going over in 3 of those 4 games. Now, speaking of some of the best cover teams in the country, Florida sensational. They are 26-8 against the spread this year. We talked about running roughshod in Nashville through the SEC tourney. How about just the final 2 months or so of the SEC regular season? Florida won 12 of their last 13 games entering the NCAA tournament. Donnie, they have covered in all 12 of those wins. Really compelling matchup today, though, where I do think Norfolk State can keep this a little bit close, but perhaps the best look, as you alluded to, DRS, Florida should be able to contain them. But if I think the Spartans are staying within this number, that means they keep pace offensively with a Florida team that can score with the best of them, maybe looking at total over 153.5. We have talked about it yesterday. We'll talk about it again today. All of the compelling storylines and narratives within the West region, including where the 2-time reigning national champs reside. UConn is the 8th seed in the West region. If Florida does knock off Norfolk State and UConn beats Oklahoma, That's your round of 32 game. Connecticut, a 5.5-point favorite against Oklahoma in this matchup today. We have seen the SEC struggle ever so slightly. This line opened at 4.5 in favor of Dan Hurley's Huskies, now at 5.5. Donnie, what's your approach to this matchup between the Huskies and the Sooners?
I like the points tonight. If you're looking at the 5.5 there, depending on what you can get by game time here, I think it does make some sense. You take a look at Oklahoma offense, 22 nationally here in efficiency, but also understand this. UConn's going to chase you off the three-point line. I sometimes look at that and say, okay, that can be a little bit of a misjudgment per se, because just give me the team that likes to shoot the three-point shot at a high percentage, and I trust that team to say, all right, we're not going to force three-point shots if they're not there, but if they are available, we'll kindly knock those down. But key ingredient in this game, fouling. Connecticut's defense, 333 in the country at fouling. Oklahoma knows to get to the line. And also, making the free throws is important. Top 10 in the country at making them at 79% as a team. Give me the three-point shot. Give me getting to the free throw line. I'll live with it. Give me the 5.5 points.
They also get to the free throw line a ton in OU, as you mentioned. 39.6% of their free throw attempts in correspondence to their field goal attempts, meaning they get to the line very frequently. Oklahoma was a really compelling team this year under Porter Moser. They were one of the final unbeatens, one of the last four unbeaten teams around the country at 13-0. Then they started SEC play, winless on a four-game slide. They were 3-10 in the SEC, and now 16-10 in the middle of February. They won three of their final five SEC regular season games and knocked off Georgia in their opening game in the SEC tournament. Donnie, I think OU does keep things close today. It's a big game for the freshman, and Jeremiah Fear is one of the best in the country. Another 8-9 matchup that we have backed up in, I believe, the East region, that is Baylor and Mississippi State. Basically a pick 'em. It's our first game on this Friday. We'll hit on it more, DRS, on the other side of the break. What's your initial thought?
Yeah, Baylor looking, and again, it's not, hey, well, the underdog take the 1.5 points at this point. I think there's a legitimate chance they can win. And Ben, I know Mississippi State's one of those teams that you've eyed up saying, boy, I can't wait to fade that team once they get to the dance. Well, Ben, they're actually in the dance now. Are you going to fade that squad is the question.
I wish it was any other 8-9 seed instead of Baylor. We'll talk more about it next.
Stick 'em.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our first game on this Friday in the round of 64 at the 2025 men's NCAA tournament, 12:50 p.m. Eastern time tip, between the 9 seed in Baylor and the 8 seed in Mississippi State. A 1.5-point spread in favor of Chris Jans and his Bulldogs, -130 on the money line, over under stands at 145.5. DRS, you asked me, am I going to fade Mississippi State? A team that I have long said I do not buy into. I believe their numbers have goosed up the resumes of their fellow conference compatriots in the SEC. A Mississippi State team that I was willing and ready and able to fade in the NCAA tournament. The short answer is yes. In every one of my brackets, I have not bet on the Baylor Bears just yet. I was literally hoping for anybody else as a 9 seed. You give me Creighton for sure. What a bet. Creighton alt line -10.5 against the Bulldogs. Somehow, some way, of course, as we have a couple of 9 seeds out of the SEC, Oklahoma and Georgia, of course, they were not going to play their conference foe in the opening round. Baylor's also been a wildly disappointing team this year under Scott Drew, with way too much talent, and not even like way too much talent, but starting to figure it out. Still way too much talent that hasn't looked all that great down the home stretch.
No, it hasn't. But also understand this. Like, styles make fights here. You take a look at that opening number here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 142.5. I completely agree where it sits right now, 145.5, because I like teams with the ability to knock down the three-point shot, and other teams that'll say, hey, shoot it all you want, and we don't defend it all that well. You're getting that on both sides. A decent three-point shooting team in Baylor, which is 147th in the country at volume, which means 40% of their total shots come from three-point range. And look at Mississippi State, 326 at chasing you off the line, and 314. 15 at defending it themselves. And then you take a look at Mississippi State. If they can shoot the three-point shot, which they like to shoot, don't do it all that well, only at 31%. Yeah. But again, Baylor's defense will let you shoot the three, Ben, and not defend it all that well. Both teams foul, which means we can get to the free throw line and make some free throws. I like this game to the over. And usually, you take a look at the start time, first game of the tournament, 12-15 start, little bit of nerves. I want to buck that trend. I want to take that over. I do. I think the over makes sense in this game. It could be a fun back-and-forth game today.
DRS, Baylor has dropped 5 of its last 8 entering the NCAA tournament, but in his last 2 games as an underdog, a cover against Houston and a cover against Texas Tech in the Big 12 tournament, as they lost that game by only 2 as a 6.5-point dog. Again, Baylor will take the 3 if you allow them. They play at a slower pace. Normally, the Bulldogs under Chris Jans, frankly, any Chris Jans team, known for their outstanding defense. Not this year by any means, but if Mississippi State is going to hoist from deep, that is going to be their point guard and a great scorer out of the SEC in Josh Hubbard. To me, that is the key. How efficient can the Bulldogs be shooting from deep? They take a ton, and Hubbard has free reign. He'll take 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 a game.
Yep.
How many go down? If it's 3 or 4, good. If it's 2 out of 8, maybe not the best game for Mississippi State. Again, they don't really take the basketball away. Neither does Baylor. It's an interesting matchup here. Again, not my favorite opponent to fade Mississippi State in this game. First game, though, of this round of 64 Friday at 12:15 p.m. Eastern time. Donnie, slingshot effect. Everybody hates us. Nobody believes in us. That, of course, is the calling card now for North Carolina and Hubert Davis. UNC rolls on into the round of 64 after an emphatic nearly 30-point win, but up by 40 in the second half against San Diego State in the first 4 on Tuesday night. UNC, the 11 seed in the South region, against a 6 seed in Ole Miss. In North Carolina is a slight 1.5 favorite, minus 122 on the money line. Donnie, it's been the story for the Heels the last few weeks, despite people questioning the legitimacy of this team's resume. Everybody seems to keep betting them. 81% of the money in terms of the spread back in North Carolina on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Here's all you have to look at today. You see Carolina is the favorite, and maybe deservedly so. You take a look at the SEC of Mississippi, quality ball club here, going to play good defense, going to play good offense here. But what it comes down to is the three-point shot. They, talking about Mississippi, defend it pretty well, but don't really chase you off that three-point line. If we're going to get North Carolina being effective, which means they shoot 36% from the field, from the three-point line, if they're above 36%, they're winning that game because that's just the way they play. But for me, I'm going to bank on Mississippi being the better ball club tonight, and that three ball doesn't go down, and Mississippi advances over UNC. Yeah.
If R.J. Davis is perfect from deep like he was in Dayton 6-6, could be a long day for the Runner Reds. More next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on this round of 64 Friday in the NCAA tournament on Sports Grid. DRS, the most compelling game of the day, perhaps, at least with the highest thrill score on Kenneth Pomeroy, meaning how great of a game he expects it to be. That's North Carolina trying to continue this doubt us run into the round of 64 and beyond against Ole Miss. It's the 6-11 matchup in the South region. We saw an 11 seed yesterday in Drake emerge victorious. UNC winning in the first 4, which began in 2011. Every big dance, with the exception of 2019, a team that went in the first 4 has at least won a game in the round of 64 as well. They are a slight favorite, 81% of the money on the spread backing North Carolina. here's where Ole Miss has an advantage. They are great at taking care of the basketball. Second best turnover rate in the country. They don't even really allow the ball to be taken away from them. They don't put it in harm's way. Best non-steal turnover percentage in college basketball. If they are sound, DRS, the running Rebs on the offensive side of the floor, playing at the tempo they do, they should be able to stay in this game right with North Carolina. But what you said before the break is critical. Ole Miss will let you shoot the three. And if UNC shoots it as well as they did against San Diego State in Dayton, this could be another Carolina victory, and the Heels marching on to the round of 32.
Like, usually you don't say, like, hey, it's a good matchup for North Carolina, who's the 11th seed, taking on a higher seed, and the higher seed hasn't played yet. North Carolina did. They had to travel. We get all that. But also, like, again, styles do make fights. The calling card for North Carolina is sometimes not as efficient as it should be. You say, well, what does that mean, Donnie? They're 18th in the country. That's really efficient. Yeah. We've watched them at times this year where it's like, hey, you just can't make the open shot. When they're now doing that, which makes them dangerous, which started in the second half against Duke and then continued, obviously, in their play-in matchup against San Diego State. But also, look at some of these other things that should happen in UNC's favor. If they come in hot from three-point range and they make their shots, they're a completely different team. But understand this. They don't necessarily need the three-point shot in volume because you look at Mississippi State's defense, Ben, 323rd in the nation at fouling. Now, I love that. When you have a team that can get to the free throw line and convert and have the ability to score in different ways, it just takes the pressure overall off of your offense. Like, hey, if the three ball's not going down, there's no other way we can score. This team gets to the rim, and if Mississippi State challenged at the rim, they could get in foul trouble. I'm still trusting Mississippi as saying, you know what? Enough is enough. They probably should be a favorite in this game. They're not. North Carolina coming in a little bit hot. Chris Beard is a fantastic coach. It's not as like, hey, what you want me to do against North Carolina? They have a game plan ready to go. They will be coached well. They handle the basketball, as you said, and I'm predicting that they pull the upset. Come on now. Stop it.
It is so funny, DRS. You and I have sat here now literally going on a week because the ACC tournament semifinals were last Friday in Charlotte. And despite the fact that Cooper Flagg was not playing, everybody knowing the importance of the game for North Carolina, everybody was betting the Heels. Looked like Duke was going to make the books a ton of money. Of course, North Carolina did come back and cover as a 6.5-point dog in that game, despite losing outright. Despite North Carolina's controversial inclusion as the final team into the Field of 68, everybody was betting on the Tar Heels in the first four against San Diego State. Correct again. UNC has been the bookmaker's nightmare, and that could be the same today if UNC does win and cover as a 1.5-point favorite against Ole Miss. And I think we've been fair to North Carolina here on the show. Outside of the Duke games, in their final 11, right, they lost the 2 to Duke. They've won the other 9. They have covered in 8 of those 9. Donnie, to end out the regular season in their 6-game win streak, entering the matchup inside the Dean Dome against Duke. They had gone over in 6 straight. The offense looking good. Over, of course, against San Diego State. Ole Miss over in 9 of its last 12, entering the big dance. 4:05 p.m. Eastern time. All of the attention this afternoon on a Friday on the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee for North Carolina and Ole Miss. UNC, one of the 11 seeds to win in the first four in Dayton on Tuesday. The other, that was Xavier. A dramatic double-digit comeback in the second half, spurred on by what felt like a home atmosphere, even in Dayton, with the fans making the trip from Cincinnati to knock off Texas on Wednesday. Again, first four began in the NCAA tournament in 2011. Every year, with the exception of 2019, at least one team to win in the first four has won at least one game in the round of 64. Could it be North Carolina or could it be Xavier? Really good matchup today for the Musketeers out of the Big East taking on Illinois. The 6-11 matchup in the Midwest region. Yeah. As we look at this game, DRS, 3.5-point spread in favor of the Illini. And everybody pay attention to that total. 159.5. How much offense are you anticipating in this game between the Illini and the Musketeers?
We're expecting a lot of offense here, and there's shot makers all the way around. You want some decent tempo. Both teams will play at it. You want some three-point shots to be shot. These teams do like to shoot. However, when you're looking at one little setup, which is going to decide this game for me, you take a look at Xavier's offense, sixth in the nation at making the three-point shot at close to 40% as a team. You look at Illinois' defense. They'll defend it quite well, but how about this? Third in the nation at chasing you off of that three-point line. So it's like that battle of attrition, because understand this, Xavier's not built like we talk about, like a BYU. Hey, bomb away. If you make them, there's nothing they can do. They're pretty judicious from the three-point range here. Only 206 in the country at volume, which means they're not forcing it. So they're taking the open shot. But how many of those open shots are going to be available is the question for me. I like Illinois in this game. Now, they are the favorite. My MO is usually take the points and pray. In my bracket, I have Illinois advancing. It's one of those where I do think we get a great total here, but also, do you get that effect where Xavier played so well in game number one? Coming into this game where Illinois hasn't played here yet in the dance, does that make up a difference here? And also, is Xavier going to translate that great shooting into this environment? We'll find that out. A great game, a fun game, and maybe the best game to watch overall if you're looking to bet prop bets. Why? Because of how high that total is. I can't wait to watch it play out. And the key, once again, is that three-point line for Xavier and how many shots they get a chance to knock off Illinois when they'll chase you right off that three-point line.
Illinois, an incredibly compelling team, not quite in the same vein of a Kansas or a Baylor or a UConn, perhaps, but a team that was expected with so much talent up and down the roster for Brad Underwood to maybe not be on the sixth line, but the two line, the three line, after making it to the Elite Eight last year for the first time in two decades since 2005. That's the standard now in Champaign for the Illini. Can they get on a run? But Donnie, they get blown out by Duke by 43 in the Garden. They respond by winning four in a row, covering in four in a row, scoring at least 80-plus in all four, over in three of four. And then they enter the Big Ten tournament. They handle business in the highest-scoring game against Iowa, included in that four-game win streak, and get absolutely ran out the gym on Friday night by Maryland, 88-65. Now, the Terps in action today, we'll talk about Maryland in just a moment. They're a really good basketball team. I don't know what to make of Illinois. I do think we see some offense today. Did Xavier use up all the three ball on Wednesday? Marcus Foster was great, 4 or 5 from deep. You know who wasn't all that prolific? Ryan Conwell, one of the best three-point shooters in the country for the Musketeers. I bet the over 159.5 when this matchup was set late on Wednesday night. That's where I still stand. Great game, though, in the Midwest region. That's 6-11 split. Let's head back out to the West region. Memphis in Colorado State. DRS, the 12 seed in Colorado State, perhaps one of the hottest teams entering the big dance. Winners of 10 straight. Winners of the Mountain West tournament title. As a 12 seed, are booked as a slight favorite against Memphis. 1.5-point spread, -126 on that money line. DRS, are we discrediting the Tigers just a little bit too much?
Oh, we are, definitely, and that's what the handicap is, because you look at both of the metrics on each side. Both teams have, you know, decent offense, decent defense, and you say, well, Memphis should be the better team, better pedigree at this point. I just don't think Memphis played a very strong schedule this year, and the fade of it is just I think Colorado State is better, but again, well, the Midwest was a little bit better than what they showed up in the tournament, so that's why I talked about a little bit early in the show, a little bit of trepidation with Colorado State today, as I was more comfortable just a few days ago.
2-15. The six Mountain West schools not named San Diego State in the last six tournaments. We're on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Colorado State, a team on the 12th line, is favored against a 5 seed in Memphis. DRS, we continue to break down this game, 2 p.m. Eastern time in Seattle today. It is going to be one of the more compelling in this round of 64 Friday at the men's big dance. You said Memphis is being slightly discredited based on the odds. I would have to agree. Yeah. Here's why Memphis is a 5 seed. Here is why the power ratings and the metrics don't love the Tigers. Memphis is a 5 seed because of the strength of their non-conference schedule and what they did in that non-con schedule. Memphis holds 5 wins against fellow tournament teams. And oh, by the way, in all 5 of those wins against fellow tournament teams, The Tigers did cover, and the total pushed to the over. The Tigers, though, not loved by the metrics because they play in the American. They were not overwhelmingly impressive in the American, just 8-13 against the spread in conference action despite winning the AAC. And they needed to win to claim that automatic bid. No other American team in to the big dance. So the committee, based on their non-conference wins against NCAA tourney teams, they're on the five line. But Donnie, we have said this. There are 25 teams that are rated higher in KenPom, that are lower on a seed line in the NCAA tournament than that of Penny Hardaway and his Memphis Tigers. It is why they are catching even just a point and a half against CSU today.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not a lot of life to that Memphis program for me. They have a lot of people, hey, this is one of my teams that can make a run. It's one of those games, again, where a lot of people circled and said Colorado State is the better team, even though one team is a 5 seed and one team is a 12, which, again, on a year-to-year basis, that's always the matchup we look for at the 12 to 5. So I do think it makes some sense. But when you do look at the metrics and the numbers and go back and forth, like, yes, Memphis turns it over a little bit too much. But both of these teams seem pretty even up to me. I'm just as a pure fade to Memphis, not necessarily I don't think Memphis can handle themselves because they won a lot of basketball games. But again, you're questioning the competition. And even when they got into the American tournament, slipping by their first two round games here, those are the expectations. But also, as I pointed out before the break, I liked Colorado State a lot better a few days ago, not because of Colorado State, because I was given the nod to that conference saying it's a conference that maybe not a lot of people watch, but based on some of these KenPom rankings, they're right up there at the top and they should be able to handle their business. So today, looking at what that quote-unquote tough conference did so far, it's like, man, is Colorado State really that good? Now, they can reset the market for the Mountain West with a nice victory over Memphis, but again, confidence-wise, not as high as I was just a few short days ago here, but still think Colorado State's the better team and will win this game.
Utah State blown out by UCLA. San Diego State blown out by North Carolina in the first four. And San Diego State really has been the beacon of the Mountain West, a conference that has struggled in large part in the NCAA tournament. Of course, SDSU, a national championship game run 2 years ago, the only team of the six, which was a conference record for the Mountain West, into the Big Dance last year to even see the second weekend. They were ousted by Connecticut again in a Sweet 16. The other six schools in the last six NCAA tournaments, including Colorado State, that have made the Big Dance, just 2-15. It has not been a picture-perfect picture for the Mountain West. But what Nico Medved has done for Colorado State, really solid. One of the best players in this tournament, Anthony Clifford. CSU has won 10 in a row, including the Mountain West tournament title. Donnie, since the middle of February, according to Bart Torvik, who does his updated power rankings throughout the year, you can kind of select that window, that time frame you want. Since the middle of February, Colorado State rated as the eighth most efficient team in college basketball. Couple of good 7-10 games we haven't really discussed at length yet here on the early line. St. Mary's and Vandy, the Gales, the champions of the regular season out of the WCC, on the 7 line in the East region, taking on yet another SEC team in Vanderbilt, the 10 seed. 4.5-point spread in favor of St. Mary's. Every game you see with Randy Bennett's crew that likes to play slow, you will see a low total, 135.5. Donnie, what's the breakdown for this round of 64 matchup?
Take a look at St. Mary's again. You have to take your chances against them because if you allow them to dictate the pace of the game, it's going to frustrate the heck out of your offense. You take a look at them, talking about St. Mary's on defense, 7th overall in efficiency, 15th in effective field goal percentage, which means they rebound the basketball, they don't foul, they defend the three-point line, and they chase you off of the three-point line. Now, 45.8% is the amount inside the arc that they allow, which, say, boy, that's, you know, a decent number. They do, however, let you score because they chase you so much off of the three-point line. So for me, if I look at that, that's an advantage towards St. Mary's, which is destined to frustrate a Vanderbilt team. You take a look at St. Mary's offense, incredible rebounding here, which means second-chance points, and Vanderbilt does foul, even if St. Mary's isn't that team, and that's why they're not up-tempo. How many times do you usually get the fouls, Ben? You get out on the fast break, it's a 3-2, you take it to the rack, you get to the line. That's not St. Mary's offense. Frustration is St. Mary's offense, and they'll turn the basketball over. I'm trusting Randy Bennett and this team, built for March Madness, to slow slow this tempo down and frustrate Vanderbilt with their defense, and their offense should be good enough to get handle their business there. I think it's, again, favorite, you know me. I love to take the points and pray, but it's just in bracketology, I'm moving St. Mary's on in this game. I just love their style of play, Randy Bennett and the boys.
Yeah, I agree, DRS. I'm back in St. Mary's here, and I think this is a line that puts a lot of credence into the SEC. And Vanderbilt has had a great year in Nashville. First year under Mark Byington that brought James Madison to the big dance and now brings Vandy to the big dance for the first time in nearly a decade, I believe since 2017, 2016, something in that realm. I think St. Mary's is being slightly slept on. They lost one game in regular season WCC action. They swept Gonzaga. Yeah, they lost to Gonzaga in the WCC tournament title game. But I really love this St. Mary's team, and I love the WCC Player of the Year in Augustus Marshallonis. I think St. Mary's wins this game. And Donnie, they play at a slow tempo. Yeah, it's been their story every year that Randy Bennett has been there in Moraga. That's going on more than two decades now. And it's not like, oh, we don't play teams that play fast. They beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga is far more efficient offensively and plays far faster than that of Vanderbilt. I love St. Mary's to win this game. Now, the Gaels have not seen the second weekend since 2010. Do I love St. Mary's against the two seed in the East region in Alabama? Speaking of teams that play fast and can score, maybe not. Do I like St. Mary's in this game? Yeah, I'll lay the 4.5 with the Gaels as well. Our other 7-10 game on the other side of the break, Marquette and New Mexico. What to make of this matchup in the South region? We'll tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
7-10 matchup in the South region. Marquette out of the Big East taking on yet another Mountain West tourney team in New Mexico. Richard Pitino and his Lobos won the regular season conference crown in the Mountain West, the first for New Mexico in a conference in over a decade, dating back to their time in Conference USA. Marquette, a compelling team, DRS, off to a great start in Big East play, fading down the stretch. When you look at the odds for this matchup tonight in Cleveland, Ohio, the Golden Eagles, just a 3.5-point favorite, total at 151 and a hook. What's your approach to this game that I really can't seem to make a ton of sense of?
No, it's a really hard one because and sometimes you have to factor in. I haven't watched a single minute of New Mexico play basketball this year. Like, barely even the highlights, Ben. I couldn't even tell you, like, their starting five at this point without scrolling down to KenPom and reading the names out. But I do know Marquette at this point, but that's my bracketology in this one. I just moved Marquette on because I don't know much about New Mexico. And having said that, how about this? Same thing I think about Colorado State, where I've watched a little bit of their games, familiar with the head coach and familiar with the background. I say to myself, Mountain West, all right. We're for giving them a lot of credence after how they've actually entered in. So I use the opposite theory on Colorado State, where I'm like, I don't know about this. I feel more confident on Marquette today because of how the Mountain West actually has done against New Mexico. But for me, I will not be betting this basketball game. I just moved Marquette on because why? I don't know anything about New Mexico. I'm just hoping they lose today to help out my bracket. How about that handicap?
So, DRS, I don't mind it, right? So let's start with Marquette. They are known, much like Maryland, for relying on their starting five. Basically, the entirety of their minutes and production from the starting five for Shaka Smart, led by Cam Jones, one of the best guards in the country. A lot of veteran experience for this Marquette team that saw the second weekend a year ago. Marquette got off to a 9-1 start in Big East play, 18-3. They dropped their next three games. I bought in on the dip on the Golden Eagles because the price to win a national championship was 130-1. And I was just like, get me to the second weekend. I'll cash out. I don't think Marquette gets to the Final Four. I don't think Marquette really makes any bit of a run. You literally allow me a small profit on that wager. I'll cash out. Markets worked against Marquette because they have struggled from that juncture. They play fast, though. They want you to play slow defensively, but they play fast offensively. Speaking of fast, that's the Lobos. Fourth fastest tempo in the country for New Mexico, led by one of the best guards in the country in the Mountain West Player of the Year in Donovan Dent. They had that guard, big man combo in Donovan Dent with Nelly Jr. Joseph kind of holding down the paint for the Lobos. They don't love to take the three. They don't need to take the three. They try to press you up front, and they make things very difficult on the defensive end of the floor. A compelling game, Donnie. I've done three brackets. I think in two, I have New Mexico. In one, I have Marquette. Not sure I'm going to bet this game, but we'll see who advances to the round of 32. The winner of this game more than likely will take on Michigan State, who plays Bryant today. We'll talk about MSU and Bryant in a little bit. 12-5 matchup, Oregon and Liberty in the East region. What to make of Oregon? Really, really good, really, really bad at times this year. Liberty, the champions of CUSA. Richard McKay has a really sound team. That 5-12 matchup, once again, the odds for this game in favor of the Ducks, as you would expect. 6.5-point spread, total 138.5. Late night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. That scheduled tip out in Seattle. Not a far trip for Oregon.
Yeah, and that's a problem for Liberty because they're going to travel a long way, so more home court advantage for Oregon. But however, how do you defeat that home court advantage? Effective field goal percentage nationally, number 2 overall, that is Liberty. They can shoot from three-point range, top 5 in the country, close to 40% as a team. Inside the arc, which they don't rely on all that much, top 11 in the country. You know me, Ben. If I want an underdog, I don't care how you operate at all outside the three-point line, because if you make your three-point shots, you'll always be in that game. I like Liberty in this game, despite the travel and the home court advantage and the higher pedigree of the Oregon squad. Give me Liberty or give me a loss.
Oh, I like that. Donnie, Oregon, a really compelling team. 8 quad 1 victories this year. 5 wins against teams that will play in the NCAA tournament, including a ton in non-con play, including against A&M, San Diego State, and Alabama, winning outright as an underdog against those two SEC teams. And Dana Altman, 75 wins in the month of March in his 15 years in Eugene. He gets his team playing the best basketball at the most significant times. But Oregon has had some very high peaks and some low valleys this year. We'll continue to break down what we'll see in the round of 64 on this Friday when hour number 3 on the Early Line comes your way next.